It is a very important thing to know certain things, know certain facts, know certain pieces of information. I tease my brother James. I have never known someone who has had a wider depth, a wider breadth of knowledge with a narrower depth. It really is unbelievable. He knows more facts than you can possibly imagine. It just astounds me. We'll be in conversation sometime, and I'll say, hey, did you know this about the life cycle of the gnat? It really is remarkable. Now, I tease him that they're the most irrelevant facts, and I just picture him sitting all day just, you know, Googling and Wikipediaing things as things pop into his mind. But he combines a great curiosity with a fantastic memory. And so he's got all this information that's stored. But knowledge is a very important thing. And we're going to look at today what is perhaps, what is certainly the greatest knowledge that we can have. And what jumped out at me and what I'd like us to focus on from this passage today is the statement of this man who had been blind. And we've been focusing for the last number of weeks on the miracles of Jesus, and it's happened to touch on a number of people that were blind and then were healed and became seeing. And we see this man that we looked at last week. He was a blind man. He was a blind man from birth. And this man had a miracle happen to him. Jesus took clay and he put it on his eyes, this man who had never been able to see. And Jesus said, hey, go to that pool of Siloam, go to that water, area of water over there, and wash the clay off. And the dude goes there, he washes the clay off, and suddenly he sees. Never been able to see before, and suddenly he sees. And this whole story is one of people very much questioning this miracle based on the one who did it. They didn't trust Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. The Pharisees feared him. And so they're telling him, they're saying, okay, they're trying to figure out this miracle, but really they're trying to discredit Jesus. And I love the response that this man gives in verse 25. Look with me in your Bibles at verse 25 here. This is what we're going to focus on. He, the blind man, the previously blind man who was now seeing, answered and said, whether he, Jesus, be a sinner or no, whether he's a sinner or not, whether he's done sins, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That was enough for the blind man. He said, all I need to know is that I used to be blind, and now I see. We're going to use this as an illustration, a picture of a very important spiritual truth that is displayed in our memory verse today. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
And notice the contrast between then and now. Then, there was absolutely nobody on that blind man's side. And the question, the healing and everything else. Today, we go to the other extreme. Everybody has to be healed. You've got faith healers. You've got lotions, potions.
That.
You hear it all the time. So notice the contrast. Notice the extreme between then.
That's right. We are going to title this simply, One Thing I Know. One Thing I Know. And we are going to talk today about a great change that took place in this man's life. A great change that led him to this great confidence to say simply, hey, I know one thing. I used to be blind, but now I see. And we're going to analogize that. We're going to use that to illustrate for us the great change that God intends to bring about in human hearts. You know, there's a wonderful song. Some of you teenagers may have heard it or sung it at some time. We sang it on my bus all the time when I was a bus captain. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. The words I used to say, don't say them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. The things I used to watch, I don't watch them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. The songs I used to sing, don't sing them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I have been born again. It's important we know what this great change looks like, and we're going to start by talking about the essence of this change. It's really simple when we use this story of the blind man becoming a seeing man to illustrate a spiritual reality, what happens on the inside. And really, what we are going to ask, first of all, is what he was, what this blind man was. Simply put, he could not see. He could not see. And we talked a little bit last week and over the last couple of weeks about the about how a blind man sadly was viewed in that time. This, indeed, in certain ways today, as Johnny would be quick to remind us, John chapter 9, at the beginning of the story, if you remember, Jesus' disciples looked at this blind man sitting there and they say, hey, who sinned that he's blind? Whose fault is it? Did he do something wrong? Is that the reason he's blind? Did his parents do something wrong? Is that the reason he's blind? And the reaction was, okay, someone's at fault here. Someone, God cursed this guy. And Jesus makes clear, no, God didn't curse that guy. God is intending his power to be shown through him. God is intending there, this person to be a vehicle for showing God's glory and God's power in him. And so this man, though, was blind, and it affects, as Johnny would be able to testify, every area of his life. Now, what he was. Now, secondly, very simply in this essence, is who he met. If you've ever seen anything involving a pivot, anything involving a fulcrum, anything like a seesaw on which it goes up and down, there's a pivot point. Jesus Christ, for every single one of us, is that pivot point at which we pivot. He's this right here, that we were up and then we were down, or we were down and then we were up. This man was sitting by the temple, if you will, minding his own business. He likely was a beggar looking for assistance from those who were coming to the temple. And suddenly Jesus shows up. Suddenly his life completely changes. Suddenly he was never the same. And the third part of this essence, very simply, was what he became. He was blind. He met Jesus, and then what happened? He saw. He says, one thing I know, that I used to be blind, I used to not be able to see, and now I can. Now I see everybody. Now I see everything. It has been a remarkable change. Now let's make this, draw our spiritual analogy from it. Let's take this not from being outside in the realm of sight, in the realm of hearing, in the realm of feeling, but now let's move inside. Okay, we're talking about an inside reality now. Here's what the Bible tells about us spiritually. The Bible says that all of us from birth are dead inside. We're dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in your sins, in trespasses and sins. Now, what do you mean you're dead? Your heart's beating on the inside. Your brain is working on the inside. There are processes going on in your body. Your blood is pumping. Your lungs are taking in oxygen. What do you mean you're dead? Well, your body's not dead. Your mind is not dead. That part of the inside of you is not dead. But there's a part of you called your spirit that from your birth is dead. Your spirit is that which is able to communicate with God. It is the means, if you will, of fellowship, of communication, of friendship with God. And the Bible says that that part of us is dead. It is lifeless. Just as there was something in that man, blind man's sight, that was dead. There was a part of his eye that was not functioning. It was lifeless. So, in the inward being of every person from birth, there is something that's dead. It's not alive. And just as this man's condition was blind from birth, from the very moment he came out, he was blind. He couldn't see. There was never a time in his life when he could see. Johnny has shared with me the story of his blindness caused by too much oxygen, right, Johnny, when you were born? Johnny doesn't ever remember seeing. He never remembers seeing. Someday he's
premature, 3 pounds, 10 ounces.
That's right. And we all, from birth, are dead in trespasses and sins. Who we meet. If there's going to be a great change in our life, it's only going to come by an encounter with Jesus Christ. Not just an encounter, not a physical encounter. Why? Because none of us have seen Jesus walking around this earth. None of us stood there at his cross and watched him being crucified. Yet it's a spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is alive. You don't see him, but he's alive. He is in heaven. He is at the right hand of God. He is making intercession for his people. He is pleading, if you will, our case before God. He's alive. And so what it requires is a personal interaction, a personal acquaintance with Jesus Christ that becomes the essence of a great change. What do you become? What do you become in your spiritual life? Well, Scripture talks about this great change and uses a picture of at least three different things that show you what a great change this is. What a remarkable thing it is. Now, I just want you to imagine this for a moment. I don't know that we all the time deal with what it would be like to have one of our faculties that is, if you will, dead. If we would have the reality of blindness for even 10 minutes, for a day, for a week. If we were to have the reality of...
68 years.
That's right. If we had the reality of being deaf, the reality of being unable to speak, the reality of being unable to move some of our limbs to be a quadriplegic or a paraplegic, it'd be a remarkable experience. Now, if you think of that experience from this man who had never seen a thing in his life to suddenly for the first time seeing everything, you have a small picture of what the spiritual change is that God wants to make in your life. The spiritual change. What is that? Well, let's turn to just a couple passages and we'll look at that together, shall we? Let's turn to a couple passages to see what that is. First of all, if I could have Dave, if you could turn to John chapter 3. Everyone turn to John chapter 3 first. Joel, while we're turning there, if you wouldn't mind turning to, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. And then if we could have, Ron, would you be willing to turn to, let's see here, Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 6. All right, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and let's take a look at verses 3 through 8. Dave, if you wouldn't mind reading John 3, 3 through 8. What is the picture that Jesus is using here of this great change? You must be born again. It is of birth. Birth is such a miracle. From a baby that suddenly has new life. Well, certainly that life has been there, but now the life emerges. And there is suddenly breathing, and there is suddenly crying, and there is suddenly this baby. What an amazing miracle that is. Jesus says that is like the miracle that I want to work in you. You must be born again. And it was a confusing thing to this Nicodemus who said, how can I? Do I have to go into my mom's stomach the second time? Do I have to come back out when I am old? Jesus says, no, you don't get it. If you're born of the flesh, of this body, you're of the body, you're of the flesh. But he says that which is born of the Spirit of God on the inside, is of the Spirit. All right, let's go, Joel, to Galatians chapter 6 and see the second metaphor that we see here. The first one here is of birth. Do you want to read for us, Joel, just Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15? Now, look at what 2 Corinthians 5 says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So, in other words, the second metaphor that we see in Scripture about this meeting with Christ, what we become, is not just the metaphor of birth, but is the metaphor of creation. There is something new that is formed. John Wesley said, and I'm paraphrasing it, but only the God who created the earth is the one who is creating, can create a new soul, can create a new life. The same creative force that God worked when He made all the world, all that we see, is at work when He creates something in our life. There is a new creation. Now, let's look at the other metaphor that we see in Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Ron, would you read that for us? Here is the third metaphor, resurrection, new life. You can imagine that if you went to a funeral and there was someone who was in the casket right out there at the funeral and was laying there completely dead, and someone walked up to that person and said, "Hey, get up, get up." And suddenly he sits up and he's alive. He gets out of the casket, kind of brushes himself up and says, "Hey, sorry to ruin the party, folks. I'm alive." You can imagine what kind of miracle that is. That's what Scripture says happens on the inside. That miracle is what happens on the inside. You were dead, and you become alive. You are born again. You are made a new creation. It's referring to the most astounding miracles that we could imagine. But it's what Jesus says, what Jesus likens our new birth spiritually to. It's that dramatic. The essence, what He was, blind. Who He met, Jesus Christ, what He became, seeing. And that miracle is what we see and can have experience in our life. But we should look, secondly here, about what this experience of this new change, of this great change, actually is. Turn, if you will, over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 3 of Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Here is what this wonderful picture again that Scripture uses. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in," now read those last three words with me, "newness of life." Newness of life. What Scripture says, the experience of the person who has been born again from the inside out, is that this person would be able to walk in a completely new life, a completely new way of living. This is the same thing that 2 Corinthians 5 says, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And it starts, first of all, here with perception. And it's next with power. Now, what is the perception that this man experienced in his life? He was able suddenly to see. That was the experience that changed for him. He used to be blind, and now he saw. We won't go into all the passages to support this, but Scripture likens a man who physically is blind and seeing to what happens on the inside. It's happened to some of you, I know, because I've talked to you. You say, "It never made sense. Christianity never made sense to me, but one day it did. One day it was like a big light bulb went on, and I saw. I had been blind before." I said, "Who's Jesus?" "I don't know. Some guy my Sunday school teacher talked about." Who's God? Oh, I don't know, some guy up in the sky. I don't know much about him. What's the Bible? Oh, it's a boring book. What's church? Oh, where it's people go and do things. I don't understand why they're doing it. I'd rather sleep. And then one day the light goes on and you say, no, now I know who Jesus Christ is. It all makes sense to me. He died for my sins. I know who God is. He's not some guy standing up in the sky. He wants to actually be my father. He wants to care for me. He wants to have a relationship with me. What is the Bible? No, the Bible's not that old boring book anymore. The Bible's my book by which I live. I read and I learn about who God is. It's alive. It's exciting. It's fresh. Say, what's church? Oh, church isn't boring anymore. Church is when I come and get to tell God how awesome He is. I get to come and be around other people who love God too, and we get to talk about how awesome God is. I get to hear God preached about and talked about, and I just love it because God's awesome. I get it now. I see it. You see, that is the perception that changes. A light bulb goes on, and we can see. Now, there's power here too. Notice that for this man to see, something had to happen in his eyeball. Something was broken before. Something was dead before. But now suddenly, there was a restoration. There was a power source that happened, and suddenly he sees. Now, we need to understand what that power is in our life. How is it that we go from being dead on the inside to being alive? To becoming a new creation, a new being, really, from our very inside. Well, from our memory verse, if you have your card or if you have your Bible open, the key word here, the key two words, is in the first phrase. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. You say, what does that mean? In Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Do you know that it could have said, hey, therefore, if any man be with Christ, we're buddies. Jesus and I are buddies. We're gonna make this new creation. It doesn't say that. Therefore, if any man be like Christ, I'm trying to be like him. I'm trying to model my life after his. He's my example. I'm going to try to walk in his. But it doesn't say that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what does that mean? Well, we're not going to be able to explain it. That would be a whole nother sermon of itself. But let me say this, just very simply. The practical reality of the Christian is that you become one with Jesus. You are joined together with Him. And the example that the Bible uses is of a vine and branches. Now think about this. If you've seen a vine, what grows on a vine? Grapes. Grapes go on a vine. And there's this great vine, that this long vine that has branches hanging off it. Now what happens if you take a clippers and clip those branches off and you throw the branch on the side? What's going to happen to that branch? It's going to die. What are you going to do? You're going to pick it up and you're going to throw it in the fire. It's worth nothing. If the branch is separated from the vine, the branch is worth nothing. You might as well kill it. You might as well throw it in the fire. And so what Jesus says to us is that you are in Jesus Christ like the branch is in the vine. How does the branch live? Because the vine gives it nourishment. The vine gets moisture, the vine gets water, the vine gets sunlight, and it provides that life to the branch. You remove the branch from the vine, it's done. Jesus said, hey, if you don't abide in me, if you're not in me, you can't do anything good. You can't do anything for me. You have to be in me. You have to be abiding in me. And do you know what is the source of our abiding in Jesus Christ? It's this. When Jesus did a work in your heart, if you've come to him by faith and say, Jesus, I need to be saved. I need to come to you. I need to be in you. Do you know what he does? He sends the Holy Spirit, God himself, to live in you. Do you know that if you're a Christian this morning, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you? Paul Molitor talked about that in our sermon last Sunday evening. The reality of this, that he's my friend. He's actually living inside me. That part of me that used to be dead is now alive. And there with me as my companion, my day-to-day friend, my help, my power, is the Holy Spirit, God himself. That's why Paul could say, do you know what the secret of my life is? It's not me living in my flesh, in my strength, in my power. Christ is living in me. Do you know you can say that? Christ is living inside you. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. That is the power source of this great change that is ours. That's why Philippians chapter 2 says this. Work out your own salvation. Work it out. It's in you. Now work it out of you. Work it so that it's seen in your words, in your actions. Work so that it's seen in every aspect of your life. Why? Because it is God that is working in you. He is working in you, so you work out that others may see Him working in you. It's an amazing power that you have access to. You say, why can't I defeat sin? How come I keep on falling in my life? I keep on doing what I don't want to do. I know it's wrong, but I don't want to do it, but I keep on doing it. Do you know what the secret is? Abide in Christ. Abide in Him. Rely on His power. You say, why is it that I don't have the habits that I want? I'm not seeing growth in my Christian life. Well, it's like if you're a branch that's not connected to the vine. Are you going to produce any grapes? No. But get in the vine, and then guess what? You're going to start producing fruit. This is the power. But you see here, third, there's also the practice. The practice. This man, who was blind, had every single thing about his life change. He was a beggar when he was blind. Do you think he kept on being a beggar after the faculty of his sight was restored? Can you just imagine for a moment the great change that accompanied every area of his life when his sight was restored, when suddenly he saw?
What happened to him after he got his sight? Maybe when you meet each other in heaven and say, whatever happened to you?
That would be great.
Really? You guys may not think much about it, but to me, I sure would like to know, because that would mean everything to me.
You can imagine what this would have been like. Now let's take that to our spiritual analogy. Do you know that the great change that God works when you are born again should be seen in every single area of your life? It should be seen in the words that you're using. It should be seen in what's coming in, what songs you're listening to, what entertainment you're setting before your eyes, in the friends that you have. Why? Because God Himself, you are in Jesus Christ. It must affect every area of your life. You see, this man could be so simply confident. One thing I know. I used to be blind, but now it was just so obvious to him. And there's a question for us is whether we are having the same experience. Whether we could say, you know what? I'm not perfect by any means. I am not claiming to be a sinless creature, but I'll tell you one thing. Everything became new after I got saved. I'll tell you that I'm still living in newness of life day after day after day. Things are still changing over and over. I can say what I used to love, now I hate. What I used to hate, now I love. It's a completely different reality. Now some of us might have to say, no, I don't know what that is. How come I seem to love what everyone who doesn't love Jesus loves? I love the same thing that they love. Say, well, are you in Christ? Has there been a great change in your life? Are you experiencing the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in you as your friend, as your comforter, to change everything about you? You see, that is the power of this man's testimony. He said, I was blind, now I see. You see, that old famous hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. That should be the testimony of every single one of our lives. Every single one of us should have that testimony to say that change, it has been wrought in us and it is continuing to work itself out in all manner of practical ways. So we see here, first of all, the essence. We see, secondly, the experience. And third, I want to point out very briefly for us here, the effect. The effect. What did this work in this man's heart? This blind man who had been despised by everyone, This blind man who had been ignored, who had known, must have so excruciatingly the power of loneliness, of rejection, of despair, suddenly he sees. And notice what happens when he's confronted with a challenge. A challenge. They say, hey, so what'd this guy do to you? They're trying to discredit Jesus. They don't like Jesus. They want to reject him. They want to turn from him. And so this man, they come to him and say, hey, what did this, tell us what happened. He said, well, Jesus came to me, this man named Jesus. He put clay on my eyes and suddenly I saw. So that's all I know. Then they come to him and they try to come from a theological point. They say, hey, wait a second. We know that that guy's a sinner. We know that he's not anything special. We know that he's a sinner. And this guy's response is simple. Well, I don't know whether he sinned or not. All I know is that I used to be blind and now I see. That's all I know. Now notice, this kind of challenge is going to be leveled at every single one of us. Why? Sometimes it is in the realm of science. Oh, you superstitious Christians, you cute little people, don't you understand that the Bible is old, it's completely rejected, it's worthless? And they get in arguments that say, you people, you don't get it. It's, you're cute and all with your little beliefs, but that's not true. It may come in another kind of challenge. It may come in any number of ways. It may even come from those who call themselves Christians who want to dispute one level of kind of experience or not. But you see, this man had the ultimate response. Don't you know? Don't you know that I used to be blind, but now I see? You see, the challenge for him was met with his conviction. It was very plain and open for him. He said, there's no disputing this part of it. There's been a great change. You see, no one can dispute your testimony if there's been a great change in your life. If you can stand up and say, man, you should have seen what I used to be like. And now, if you were to see what I am like, it can only be him. It's not me. But you see, friends, we run into the very great danger as Christians. If there's no great change taking on in our life, what testimony do we have? Are you becoming more loving? Are you becoming more gracious? Are you becoming more merciful? Are you becoming more and more revealing of the fruits of the Spirit that God is working in your life? You can say, hey, man, great change has happened. Someone looks at your life and says, well, I don't see it. I don't see anything in your life. What's going on? This man, everyone could see. Hey, that was the blind guy that was there by the temple, and now he's seeing. There was a great change that no one could persuade him otherwise. There was this great conviction. And third, let's just close here by talking about his confidence. Do you know why? I wonder if this is true. I think it is. Do you know why I think many people, Christians or those who call themselves Christians, are so scared to tell other people about Jesus Christ? Because they're not actually convinced that God has wrought a great change in their life. They're tongue-tied. Someone wants to talk to them about it and they'll shut up. Why? Because they don't have this conviction that God's done something great in their life. You know how easily we'll talk about things that we've experienced in other areas of our life? I was just telling some people about this. There's this product I've been touting. Little kids get their stuffy noses and all this, and you have, you know, many of you maybe have used that little rubber ball that you stick in their nose and you try to take everything out. Well, I've discovered this great new product that someone told me about at my work. It's this thing, and this sounds absolutely disgusting, okay? It really is disgusting. But you put this little tube in the nose, and there's actually something that you suck. It's like a cord, and you're actually sucking it, the mucus out of your child. I know, it's horrific. It's horrendous. I'm sorry for doing this. It's gross, but I'm making a point here, okay? So just bear with me. You don't get it in your mouth. There's like a little blockage there, so nothing goes through. Don't worry. But do you know, I'll just say, man, you should see this thing. It is amazing. It's so amazing how it works. You'll go tell anyone about this product that you've used that's worked so well. But why aren't we willing to tell people more freely about what God's doing in our life? A great change that he's working in our life. I wonder if it's because we're not entirely convinced that he is doing it. You see, this blind man had no qualms. He said, hey, you want to know what happened to me? I don't care if you're the religious leaders. I don't care what you're trying to pull over my eyes. I don't care. All I know is that there's been a great change. And so, friends, this one thing I know, this great change in our life leads to the great confidence to be able to simply testify to the work of God in our hearts. So I ask you this morning, has there been a great change in your life? Has there been a new birth in you? Has there been a creation of God in you by the Holy Spirit? Is it a change that you're seeing manifested out to every area of your life? You see Him still changing you day after day after day. If so, may you, like this then blind, now seeing man, have the confidence to go to a dying world, a dead and dying world, and say, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your work in human hearts. Thank you for your work in the hearts of many of those here. I pray, Father, that if there's one here today that does not know you, that has never been born again, I pray that today would be the day they would be saved. Experience that great change for the first time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.